Thanks, Brother Dan. Greetings, everyone. I'm Louie, and this is my beautiful wife, Cheryl. And we're from Southern California in Anaheim. We're 3 miles from Disneyland, and we watch the fireworks go off at 9:30 every single night. And we actually drove up here. We have an old RV. We told everyone at church, please pray for us. And we made it all the way. And it's over at Andy's place right now. And we're staying at this beautiful family, Dan and Julie, and their four beautiful girls. And we are part of a missionary organization called Go Ministries that this wonderful family has gone through. We're a missionary sending agency and that we started when I was a pastor down in Southern California. For 21 years, I was senior pastor there, and then due to my wife's health, she had brain surgery 4 years ago. We could not pastor the church anymore, but we became full-time missionaries and overseeing the Go Ministries, and we have 87 missionaries all over the world, and we are one of the 87, and more specifically, we are missionaries to missionaries. That's our little niche that God gave us. So what we do is we travel all over the world, and we visit the missionaries and just encourage them, you know, in the Lord, because they need it. They're the Lord's hardworking servants, and we just want to go and be a boost to them. So off we are, you know, on a plane, or even more recently, we have this RV and we're traveling around the United States and all. So God is good, and it's great to be here. Your pastor's just done a great job, and his wife, you know, just being so committed to this fellowship. I met with the brothers on Friday night, prayer meeting yesterday at the house. And it's, you guys have a great, great flock. All I can say is you just better put your seatbelt on, because God's just starting, amen? And you guys have clocked over in, after that fifth year, and God's going to do great, great things. Our church took so long to grow back in Southern California, and we started in our home with four people. Big wow, as they say, you know, and you know, just so humbling, but just kept going forward with the calling, and it grew very, very slow. It was in that fledgling state for so long, I can't tell you, and just going from one building to another, and then just seeing that, you know, as you are faithful, God will do the work, and that's what it is. He always tests you by your faithfulness. Another quick story, too, is Brother Barry back here. See this guy back here? He's a tough usher, right? In case anybody freaks out, he's right there. Okay, we got a story going on here. I walk in Friday night to Andy and Juliet's house, and there's Brother Barry. We knew each other from Southern California, and he came to my church for a few years and was part of a ministry down there. And so I walk in, and it's like, wow, I remember this guy. And he goes, Pastor Louie. And that was another confirmation that we were to be on this trip. You know, how God works, you know, all the way, all those miles, and God brings people together to encourage you and to give you confirmation. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 through 5. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5, with a message entitled, Let's Go Deeper. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5. Let me get over there myself here. Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Learning how to swim was something we can all probably remember. We might have been scared at first, but our instructors were very patient in the process. It's one of the first things we want to teach our kids as they grow, to be water safe, water wise. Once you catch on to the right technique, then gradually you can move through the water. And isn't it fun to learn how to swim? And that's just what Ezekiel experienced, only in the spiritual realm. Only the water wasn't a pool, but the very river of God flowing from the yet future messianic temple when Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. Are you ready to come off the banks of the river and to get yourself wet from your ankles to full immersion? Then it's time to let go. Let's plunge into the river of God's love until we can't touch the bottom. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's time to go deeper. If you are a note taker, I've got three words for you. Conversion, aversion, immersion. Let's start with conversion. Ezekiel is closing out his prophecy, the end of his book, his long book, with a vision of the millennial temple, which included, as we just read, a river that flowed out from underneath the altar. That's kind of cool to think about. In the future reign of Christ, there's going to be this river. I just love water, you know, water sports. Joel prophesied about this in Joel 3:18. Zechariah in Zechariah 14:8. This river, have you read it before, is also found in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. So it's all over the Bible, the river of God. On either side of the river, as was described, were trees that bore different kinds of fruit each month for food and for medicine. Isn't that cool? How many of you guys like fruit? Someone brought some apples here. They look really good. And we know that from that tree, and also is that medicine, you know, the herbs that God gives. As the river flows eastward, if you know the Bible geography, it will merge with the Jordan River, right? The only river that runs through Israel. and then flow into the Dead Sea down at the south, healing the waters, because it's called the Dead Sea because it's dead. There's no life because of what? The salt content. And it's also the lowest place on the planet. The waters will be healed. And actually, as you read on, which we didn't read, but if you read on through Ezekiel 47, it will produce a fishing industry. Anybody like to fish? Got a few? So that's really cool as well. When you think about the Dead Sea being so dead, you know, and there are some bodies of water driving up here. We went through Salt Lake City. It's like, not much going on there. Salt Lake City? You know, fish don't like that. But think about everything changing in the world, right? In the desert, it says there's going to be, you know, the roses are going to bloom, just like the wild rose there of Alberta. And there's going to be water. It's just going to be an amazing thing. Things are really going to change when Jesus takes over this planet. Now, in the Bible, water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and regeneration. You know, what we would say today, conversion, being born again, getting saved, having Jesus in your heart and your sins forgiven. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and regeneration. All right? Now, I'll give you some scriptures on that. Titus 3:5. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So when you are saved, when Jesus is in your life, you are what? You're washed. You're washed clean. Think about all that laundry you do at home. You know, you just go, oh man, I don't know if this thing's ever going to get clean, and you might have to push it through again and put that spray wash stuff on and rub it with your fingernail and push it through again. And it's like, well, I don't think anyone will see it. I know it's there. But when Jesus washes your life, you are completely clean. Amen? How's that song go? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, there's a real popular song. It's called I Was Born This Way, okay, by a real popular artist and kind of advertising her lifestyle. All right. What about that? And what about other people that say, I was born this way, or I can't get rid of my Irish temper, you know, because we're all like that, you know. I can't get rid of my, I'm Italian, so I can't get rid of my passion, you know, for women or whatever. Or this, that, and the other. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you. There's a lot of X's in church, amen? Such were some of you. Well, you can say you're born this way, but really, we're born sinners. And that's what gives us the bent towards evil. But when you're saved, all that is cut off. And we have a lot of past things, don't we? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are a new you. You have a total makeover. Not just the gals, but the guys too. On the inside. Paul says again, 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed. Right? Your washing machine. You've seen those big stackable ones now? Those big round doors? You hear it like churning? Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so we give hope to the sinner. You can change. Sometimes you look at a person, you go, there's just no way. That homeless person will never change. I've seen him on that corner for a couple years now. I don't know, you know, really if that person can ever change. Jesus can change. Hey, he changed you. and he changed me. What does that mean? He can change anybody. Amen? Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the body of Christ, with the washing of the water by the what? Word. So what's going on right now? It's the washing of the water by the word. Why do you feel so good after church when you get in your car and drive home? Right? It's like, I don't even want to turn on country music right now. I'm filled with the Spirit. I want the things of the Lord. You know, I feel so good. I'm ready for the week. Why is that? Because you've been washed. See? With the washing of the word. Now notice in our text how the water flows out from the throne of God. That's really cool. Only the Lord can produce the cleansing from sin that we need. The water flows not from you. Doesn't flow from another source. It comes from the throne of God so that whatever the water touches, it's going to heal. Now think about the things in your life that you would like to change, or the life of someone else, or of this world itself. Only Jesus can change us or the person. John 7:37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Now he's crying out, so I'm lifting my voice too. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or Old King James, I like that, belly, "out of his heart, his belly, his inward man, will flow rivers of living water." And from the original language, it means torrents or gushes. Not just like a little peewee squirt gun, you know. You ever seen those kids with those big ones, you know? Get cow all the way back in that other room over there. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So the association of water with the Holy Spirit then. I like Zechariah 13:1. "In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." And every time I see a big fountain out there, I think about that scripture, you know, because you just want to go in and dip, right, on a hot day. What Jesus can do to cleanse a person's life. So that's point number one, is conversion. Now let's talk about aversion. Now, notice how Ezekiel didn't just jump into the river of God by himself, right? He was led in there. He had to be led by the Lord to the waters and then through the waters. That's something I never really recognized. But you see him in the text, he's being led to the water, and even though it's ankle deep at first, and then he's led all the way through by the Lord. That's just like us. We seem to be so hesitant to go deeper into the things of God. Why is that? I have this fond memory of my grandmother. We used to call her Nana. And she lived at Newport Beach, there in California, on the Back Bay. And so they had a little private beach. And it took so long for her to get fully immersed in the water. She would just go in there with her little right toe first, you know. And then she would put her other toe in. And then she would just go up to, like in the story here, to her ankles. And she would just talk to her friends or to my grandfather, you know. And I'm like, "Grandma, why does it take you so long to go into the Back Bay here? You can swim in that nice little raft out there." And, you know, and me and my brothers, we would just run from the back of the sand to see who could get there first, you know, and just splash right in. Isn't that funny how some are hesitant to go in the water? Others are like, "No, I can jump off the roof, man, into the water. I just, the sooner the better. Let's get into this thing." You know, why are we so hesitant, like Ezekiel, to go deeper into the things of God? What would make us so reticent? Let me give you four reasons. Number one is you don't understand it. And this might be probably because we're talking about a person that doesn't know the Lord yet. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so, you know how that is when you share your faith with someone. There's all kinds of responses you can get. They can be in your face, and what about this, and what about that, and, you know, bring up whatever, you know, something controversial, and, you know, just back at you kind of thing. Or my worst response is this: no response at all. They're just quiet, and just crickets in the room. I'm like, well, where is this person at? You know, so it's kind of like that passive aggressive response. You know, it's like, wow, they're so quiet. You know, are they thinking in their minds, gee, Louie, I wish you would leave right now because I really don't like you because I don't want to talk about God right now. You know, or whatever. We know it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? So, number one, to be hesitant about going deeper into the things of God might be you just don't understand it. And you usually fear something you don't understand. Right? Was that you before Christ, B.C.? You know, you feared it because you didn't understand it. Was that you maybe prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, you feared it. You were going to another church, and they didn't teach spiritual gifts for today. And you said, no, I don't want that. You know, I don't want to try Calvary Chapel. I heard about this cool church here in Edmonton, you know. And, maybe because you didn't understand it. And you came in, and you found out that, wow, this is really in the Bible. This is really for today. These people really love Jesus and are experiencing the wonderful love and power of Christ. Secondly, why wouldn't you go deeper into the things of God? Well, number one, we'd have to say, it's safer on the shore. Right? It's safer on the shore. Now, yesterday, we were at the mall. And Dan took us all around. And we came to that one part after the sea lion show, which was pretty cool. Was the place where you could go in, and being a Southern California guy that loves to surf, get out there in the surf, I thought, this is the coolest thing ever. There's a little place in that mall, that not little place, but it's huge, where they have a wave machine, and people are walking around in swim trunks. I asked Dan, do they do this in January? He goes, yes, indeed, even more. I thought, wow, it's cool. They're out there like body surfing and people are laying down, drinking pineapple drinks on those white chase lounges and all. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm up in Canada. It looks like I'm in Hawaii. You know, but how many people were on those chase lounges not going into that water? It's safer on the shore. For people like that, we need Ezekiel, or I should say Exodus 14:15. Exodus 14:15. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. The thing about life is there's constant growth because life is organic. Life is biology. You see kids growing, right? You just get new shoes for them. A few months later, it's like, oh, what happened to them? They ate too many carrots or something. Too much broccoli. Now I have to get them new shoes again. Constantly growing and changing. And that's the spiritual life as well. We want to stay safe and secure, but it's not where the Lord would have us. because we can stagnate. We can stay the same. And we can just, you know, be in that arrested state of spiritual growth. And God doesn't want us there. That's carnality, you know. That's playing it safe. Because, man, you're a type of person, or I'm a type of person that has a hard time changing, reticent about, you know, trying something new, growing, when actually God is calling us to go a little bit deeper. Right? A little bit deeper. Thirdly, why would I hesitate to go deeper in the things of God? I'm afraid of being swept away. Right? Have you ever been to those beaches? You know, wherever you have traveled and been, and whatever shore, and it's like, well, I think I will, you know, get one of those boogie boards, or I'll just go out there in the surf a little bit, you know, and you might have your phone and you're taking some pictures and so beautiful, and you're just going to send it to your friend and all. The next thing you know, it's like, boom, right? It's like, oh man, I rolled my pants up, but I didn't want to get wet. Now look at me. What am I going to do? And it's like, I might get swept away. And that's happened to me sometimes. It's just very common down at our beaches. You know, you're not looking, and a big wave comes and can kind of sweep you away. Well, Acts 26:24. Now, as Paul made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." In other words, Festus is telling Paul, who's before him in defense, this is, you've gone way too far with this whole Jesus thing. You know, you studied the Bible like way too much. You know, you're not one of us anymore. Like, you're like really taken by this thing, and you're almost like a cult member. That's what he's telling Paul. You're swept away too much. Now, I ask you, in the story, God led Ezekiel from what? His ankles, another 1,000 cubits, and a cubit is 18 inches, so it'd be 1,500 feet, okay? In, must have been a little reef there or something, because he didn't go down too fast, you know? And so God is good. That's a long ways. 1,500 feet is a long ways to go from your ankles to your knees. Like in Hawaii, Waikiki, they have those reefs, and you really don't sink until you're like way, way out there, and then you start going down. So God is good. God is patient with us until we go a little bit deeper. And then he came to his knees, then to his waist, and then what? Swimming now. And so this is where God wants us. But we love it on the shore. We're afraid of being swept away. And God's intent is just to say, what? Will you finally let go? You know? We're all control freaks, aren't we? We are. Deep in the heart of every person is a desire for safety and security. There's nothing wrong with that, right? People are leaving Florida now. They want to avoid the hurricane. That's smart. But when God is calling us, let's not be reticent. Why always say no, like that child that always says no? Why not start saying yes to the Lord? And lay it all down before him. Instead of being God's little rebel, just say, Lord, I'm going to say yes from now on. Why do I always have to say no? I say no first because I want to know all my options, right? Aren't we this way usually? You know, I want to know all my options before I say yes. Which would be nice if you're looking at socks to order on the internet. You know, if you make a mistake, it's going to be no big deal. You can send it back to Amazon. Right? But we're talking about spiritual things. When God is in control, we can let go of our control. And go into areas that we've never been in before. Don't stay the same. God is calling you, and he's calling me to go deeper. And the fourth one is, I don't want to drown. Swept away is one thing. I pray there's a lifeguard that can rescue me. But I don't want to drown. But you know what? In the Christian life, let me just kind of say it wildly. Is that okay? We are to drown. And we are to die. Romans 6:14 says so. And it actually uses water. And it comes up in one of the sacraments of Scripture. And what are they? We have communion. And also what? We have baptism. And what are we baptized in? It's water, right? So now we got the water thing going on here. Romans 6:14 says, therefore, we were buried with Christ through baptism unto, I'm going to have to say it, death. You died to your old life. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we die to that old life. And our water baptism shows that in that empirical, material form, the physical realm. And so what we do physically represents what we've done spiritually already. Right? So a preacher takes us down into the water. You heard that one guy that said, he whispered to the preacher, hold me down a long time, preacher, because, I've got a lot of sins to wash away. And we've talked about that at our baptisms. And we use a lot of backyard pools because we never had our own baptistry. We never had facilities for that. So we always used people in our area that had pools. And we would say, see that pool filter right there? All your sins are going to go right through that. They're all going to be washed away. And so it's time to die. It's time to die and to be swept away that we might truly live in Christ. Thirdly, and finally, in our outline is the word immersion. Immersion. Ezekiel eventually dipped his feet into the river of God up to his ankles. Then knees, then waist, and then he swam. That truly is called going deeper. And God is calling us to go deeper into that Christian life. Like Ezekiel, we should keep moving forward until we just have to plunge in. Let's talk about this. More scripture, Psalm 84:7. They go from strength to strength. Romans 1:17. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we go from glory to glory. So for you note takers, I know I went fast. I'm going to repeat those. There's three things. First one, Psalm 84:7, we go from strength to strength. Romans 1:17, faith to faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. Don't you love that? Like Ezekiel, from the ankles to the swimming. It's a gradual process of growing in the Lord. Therefore, you have to be patient with yourself and also with others as God is working in them. You ever heard that phrase? Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. And that's Philippians 1:6. The work that Christ started in our lives, he will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Some Christian groups teach Christian perfectionism that you can achieve complete sanctification and holiness in this life. I've never believed that. I just don't think that's possible, or it's scriptural. So we're not looking for perfection, we're looking for progression in the Christian life. The worst thing for me is to come up to something, to get scared about something, and to just stop in my tracks and not grow anymore. I could fake it at church, I could lift my hands, I could go to the prayer meetings and things like that, but really inside, I could be the one that's stopping myself. Nothing else can stop me except myself. And I have to be willing to yield to the Lord and say, God, I want to go on to that next level. I want to go deeper with you. My goodness, Lord, please. There's so much to experience in Christ, especially His love. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You cannot reach the backside of the dimension of God's love for you. Greater than space. If you're a Star Wars or Trekkie or whatever, and you know all about the galaxies and how expansive it is, God says He holds it all within the span of His hand. And that's nothing. He can just take all this universe and throw it away and just say, I'm God. As a little kid, one of my first theological questions to my mom, I probably was just a child thing, or maybe God's hand was on me knowing I was going to be a preacher one day. But I asked my mom as I was sitting on the front steps on one of those days with those blue sky, like those spring days with the white puffy clouds, you know, just out there like cotton, you know, just flowing through the sky. I said, Mom, you know, where does heaven end? Where does the sky end? And she really didn't, you know, how kids ask their parents these things. And you know what she said? It was really insightful. She said, she kind of had that look like, I got to figure this out. I can't let my kid be more smart than me, you know. She said, honey, it never ends. And isn't that true? It's like God's love is a universe that never ends. And it's something that you can experience. Think about it. There are three phases of the Christian life. There's salvation, sanctification, and glorification. Salvation is when you first bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Remember that glorious day? You were in your room. You were in your car. You walked forward at church. Whatever it was, that beautiful experience. Maybe you even have the date, you know, memorized. Second part of the Christian life is sanctification. And this is that whole stage of Christian growth and maturation from the moment that we are born again till the time that we die or Jesus comes in the rapture, which is called glorification. Okay? So the instant part of that is born again instantly, glorification instantly. But man, that sanctification takes a long time. That's like my whole life, you know, my whole Christian life. And we're growing and going and we're going forward. When we sin, when we fall short of the glory of God, that slows us down, doesn't it? But what's the good thing about that is we can come to Jesus and be forgiven and keep moving forward in the Christian life. I get an amen on that. You know, because we drop the ball. We fail. We find out quick that, you know, we got a lot going on still in our Christian life. We need to grow in the Lord, you know. And so we have to be humble. and just go, man, I need the Lord. I've been a Christian so long, and I still, you know, want to do road rage on the freeway. I still do this, and I still yell at my kids, and I feel terrible, and I'm not a great witness at work. I have a friend who's part of the Los Angeles Police Department. He's a police officer. Imagine having that beat, man, up in L.A., you know. And they're always out by twos in a patrol car. And he just went off one day. Our officers just have so much pressure, don't they, you know. Think about all they put up with in one day and one shift and all. And he had just had it, and he just went off, and he had a terrible attitude, and said some things he shouldn't have said. And his buddy, and they were good friends, but he wasn't a Christian, he said, his fellow police officer said, I thought you were a Christian. And he just went, oh. We know that feeling, don't we? And he ate humble pie, and he just said, you know what, I am a Christian, and I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have gone off like that. You know, that's not what a Christian should do. But that didn't stop him. See, that humility is so good. And it can even win non-believers to the Lord. We don't have to be perfect around non-believers. We should do our best. But you see, we know that there's always 1 John 1:9, right? Well, some have said it's the Christian bar of soap. It's 1 John 1:9. Anybody know it? Can say it with me? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian bar of soap. So that we can be forgiven now. God has forgiven us. We need to forgive ourselves. And maybe there's someone that we need to forgive. Because also, remember Jesus' teaching and parable that if we don't forgive others, what will happen? God cannot forgive us. I mean, we're forgiven, but we can't progress in the Christian life until we forgive others. So now we know these things are behind us now. Jesus has cleansed us through His blood, and I can go forward now in the Christian life. Just a couple more things. The Lord wants to heal the world through the waters of His love and salvation. And we see that there, that river did touch the Dead Sea. And it reminds me of what Jesus said again in John 7:38, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. And 1 John 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. We know we can shut that water off because so often, you know, water channels have valves. And you just shut it off. Turn your hose on, you turn your hose off. You turn your faucet on, you turn your faucet off. The Bible says you and I can quench the Holy Spirit. But we are to let the waters flow. How can I quench the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the ways is what we prayed about at the prayer meeting at Dan and Julie's house yesterday. We were all praying for boldness. There seemed to be a theme that we would share Christ more and not be so holding back, you know, how reticent. Most of us, it's like, you know, we're trying to take these apologetics classes and we should and learn, but we still feel like if someone asks us a question, what are we going to do, you know? It sounds like this class coming up is going to deal with that. God wants to use us. But sometimes we turn off the flow. I don't know what to say. You know, kind of thing. Let's not do that. God will use us on the level that we are at. If you're one day saved, or you've been saved for 60 years, God will use you on the level that you are at. As long as you're open and willing, God will give you so much wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to speak, and He will open those doors, and if you will walk through that door in obedience, the Lord's going to rock it, man. He's going to rock it right through you. And you're just going to go back and just have to tell someone, man, you should have been there. Let me tell you what happened. And when God takes over, right? It's not us anymore. So we don't have to quench the Holy Spirit. Let's just keep at it. And lastly, God wants to heal the nations. Because with this Ezekiel text, we find out that the leaves were for the healing of what? The nations. And it's true. There's something about that, right? There's the fruit and also the leaves. And we know that so many of us are trying to get healthy and trying to eat the right thing. And sometimes we do supplements, you know, through liquid or herbs or whatever. And all these things are good because, you know, how our diets are deficient, you know, store-bought foods and things like that. We need to supplement. It was cute. The kids were taking, all four girls were taking their vitamins this morning, saying, Pastor Louis, can you hear me crunch the vitamins? And they're all crunching for me. So God puts it into the leaves there, and therefore the healing of the nation, symbolic of what? When Christ rules and reigns on the earth, there's going to be peace all over this world. Okay? So I was telling the story. I think it was just to Dan. But earlier part of summer, Cheryl and I took a road trip from Southern California, our house. We drove all the way to New York and back. Okay, it was 7,000 miles. Our daughter lives in New York. And we also have a church plant starting in Astoria, Queensboro, of New York City. We wanted to encourage the missionaries there. Again, that's what we do. And we took the southern route around the states, and we came up, you know, all the way to New York, went to Niagara Falls, and saw my daughter. She's 1 hour upstate in New York. We came back, visited old high school friends and other Christian workers, and we had such a great trip. And I forgot what I was talking about. Where was I going on this trip? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Juliet. That's exactly right. So I was telling Dan this story. I get so involved in my stories. So we went to New York City, and you can take a tour bus, like those London buses. They're double-deckers, and they chop off the top. A little hot, but I had my little baseball hat on, you know. Rams, LA Rams fan. So I was wearing my hat. Cheryl's back resting on that second day. She didn't want to go. She said, you go to New York City. I'm tired of that big city. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted to go to Central Park. You know, you see it in the movies and the films, and I just got to go see this. So it's hop on, hop off. So I hopped off, and I went, you know, I've heard about this whole Strawberry Fields thing, you know, because John Lennon lived there, and his wife, Yoko Ono, worked with the city to create a little area in Central Park, in the north part there, called Strawberry Fields. And you go there, and there's this big round mosaic, all these tiles, and it says Imagine. Because remember John Lennon's old song, Imagine? About peace in the world, if we could all get together and just have peace. Imagine that, you know. And so there was a guy playing. He wasn't hired by the city or anything. He was just a young man, you know, just artistic with his long ponytail. And he's singing all these John Lennon songs. He sang Imagine. He sang Let It Be. And people around were just naturally chiming in and singing. And people were taking their selfies and pictures, you know, where it says Imagine. It's just a huge thing. And the vibe there was just so great and so peaceful because everybody wants world peace, right? I mean, you talk to anybody, we all want world peace. All nations, people in all religions, all across the world, we want peace for our lives, for our families, for our cities, our communities. So I thought, well, that's a cool vibe. You know, I used to, of course, be a Beatles fan, you know. So I'm going back. And one last stop, they drop you off at Times Square. I have to walk back to Grand Central Station to get on the train to go back to my daughter's house. So I'm in Times Square and it's so busy. And I really like cars. Okay, I'm a dude. And classic cars or just fast cars or whatever, right there at Times Square at the stop sign, the red light, those are long red lights, all those bustling people just like you see, you know, just hundreds of people crossing the street. There was this white Maserati, brand new, you know, and there's that beautiful Italian car. Nobody can make cars like the Italians, you know. And I'm just looking at this thing. Try not to lust, just look, you know, right? And you just appreciate for what it is, you know, all these, think about all the statistics and the makeup of this car. And there's a cool guy in there. You can just tell he's wearing like a silk shirt, you know. He's got his little Ray-Bans on, you know. He's just cool. Behind him is a black BMW, what we call a Beamer, right? Tinted windows all the way around, even in the front, which I think is illegal. But this guy's got it. He can just probably take it off and put it back on, you know. So. And there's so many people around, so much chaos, people crossing. He lightly taps the bumper of this Maserati. All right? Now, I'm just about 10 minutes away from Strawberry Fields, folks. And, you know, this guy gets out of the Maserati. And he just does the whole road rage thing. Why are you doing? This is my Maserati. Oh, you're so stupid. What are you doing? Bumping me. You know what this costs? And the whole thing, you know, with his little gold chains dripping from his wrists, you know, and that kind of thing. And he's cool. He's getting on his phone, starting to call and everything. And he's making this scene. And I ask myself, whatever happened to Strawberry Fields? And Imagine. You know, it's just a pipe dream without Jesus. That's why when I read the world news, I do not get upset. And you should not get upset. And none of us should get upset in the Christian community. Why? Because we know, of course, this is not the Lord's world as far as in its fallen state. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom after he comes to take his bride home. He's going to rule and reign after that 7-year tribulation for 1,000 years. And then it's going to be peaceful. Then there's going to be the fruit and the healing of the nations. There will be no peace until Jesus Christ is in every person's heart. And righteousness and justice will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Until then, I'm telling you, I can just say it from Scripture, it is going to get worse, including climactic changes. You know, whatever source it comes from, let's not get political about it. You know, if it's global warming or whatever, it's the signs of the times that Jesus said these things would accelerate in the last days. Let's rest it on that. He's going to come soon. And then there will be peace everywhere. Until then, what does it emphasize to us? Hey man, it's person by person by person that we influence for Jesus Christ. And once Jesus comes inside of them, he will be the Prince of Peace. And he will have this temporary reign in their hearts until, can you imagine one day when we will not only have peace in our hearts, but there will be peace globally. What that's going to be like for 1,000 years. And that's just the precedent, kindergarten before the eternal state. As your pastor takes you through prophecy and revelation. And so I just want to say, we should have the fruits of the Spirit, just like the tree in Ezekiel's prophecy. Our fruits are the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what will bring people to Jesus Christ as they see Jesus in us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. See if you can say them with me, if you haven't memorized. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The guy with the Maserati did not have the fruits of the Spirit. I don't know if I would have either. No, I'm just teasing. But it's what God wants us to have. That people see you and they see that there's something different. Why? Because you have gone deeper in the things of the Lord. And you manifest that healing of the nations. One of these days we'll see it physically everywhere. But until then, we can go around with the peace of the Lord, and we can change our world through Christ, one person at a time. Our life truly can change the world as we see one person come to the Lord at a time. We really can change this world, but it's all by going deeper. Join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the prophet Ezekiel. And Lord, we just want to give you full rights to our lives. We don't want to hold back anymore, Lord. That's just so our nature. We get afraid. We get fearful. We ask, Lord, that we would be led, like Ezekiel, to go deeper into the things of the Lord. That we would go from glory to glory into that next thing, Lord, that you have for us. Lord, we just confess to you our fears and our doubts and our reticence in the things of you. We want to be obedient, Lord. We want to just to say yes from now on instead of no, or I've got to think about this, examine my options. Father, we pray that you would be working in each and every one of us. That we could just be out there swimming in the things of you. In your marvelous love. And knowing as we let go, we will see you, Lord, do such a great work. In us. And through that, Lord, to change this world. Into what you want it to be. What you died for. And what we will see. When you will be in that kingdom and we're going to be ruling and reigning with you. We can imagine that because it's truth based upon the scriptures, because Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us. We promise to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.